Police departments around the country are having trouble recruiting new officers, and Hawaii's largest police force is no exception. The Honolulu Police Department is currently short about 260 officers, or 10% of its total force. To fill that gap, HPD Chief Susan Ballard is courting some less conventional recruits.
We're no different, like on the mainland. I mean, obviously, there's a recruitment issue there. I think for the mainland, their issue is more the perception of police officers and the things that are going on over there versus here. It's more, I think, you know, like because of the low unemployment rate. And also, you know, like what I brought up is that people's perception of what an officer, who can be an officer. And I think those are probably our two biggest issues that, you know, we need to break out of so that, you know, obviously it's nothing we can do about the unemployment, but we need to do better on, you know, getting out there and letting people know that, you know, this is a job, you know, that as long as you're willing to help the community, you know, we're going to train you and, you know, do the best we can to, you know, to get you to become an officer.
On the economic front, a lot of employers are having to raise wages to deal with the low unemployment. I know that's not really something you have the freedom to do, but do you feel the compensation is competitive for this market?
I think it is. I think that, you know, the starting salary for our recruits is very competitive. And obviously, the SHOPO, the police union, is always, I think, they come up for negotiations again starting next year, and they'll be, you know, trying to negotiate, you know, additional pay raises for the, you know, for the officers. And the thing with the compensation for an officer, too, it's not just their base salary, what they start at, which is like $63,000, but there's like the standard of conduct pay, which is, you know, over $12,000 a year more, and, you know, they work holidays and they get time and a half. If they work overtime, they get time and a half. So, I mean, the amount of money that they can make during the year is quite competitive.
And it's that 260 number, that works out to about 10%, it looks
right.
Like. How big of an impact is that on your operations?
It's pretty large. And it's not just the 260 vacancies, but also the fact that, you know, the job has changed, you know, tremendously, you know, in the past, you know, 5 to 10 years. And so we also need additional, you know, personnel to address, you know, specific issues, for example, you know, the homeless issue. What it does is, like, when I came on board, the guys who were out there patrolling the streets, their strength was only, they were only operating at like 65%. And currently we are up to 80%, but that's only because we're bringing in people in overtime. So because of the shortages, then obviously it has an impact on our budget because we have to pay overtime to bring officers in. You know, and of course we are shooting for 100% because if, you know, there's supposed to be 8 officers out in the road for one district, then there should be 8 officers out there. There shouldn't just be 5 or 6, because there's a reason why you need those officers out there.
Your figure, your estimate is that for every 1,000 applicants you get, only around 100 to 125 can pass the background check and move on to testing. What are some of the common issues that are causing people to be judged ineligible?
I think, you know, obviously a lot of them is that if they had like an arrest record, if they have done drugs in the past. I mean, obviously it's not a total disqualification. It depends upon, you know, how current the drug use is. You know, I think those are probably some of the top ones. But I mean, now that 10% of the 1,000, that's the number of people who can move on. And so, from those who actually take the test and get the background checks, and then from there it's going to be whittled down even more because they have to do a physical fitness test, they have to do psychological testing. So, you know, and then obviously they have a where they've got to actually go and, you know, get their medical history done. So out of those, that doesn't necessarily mean that all 100 or 125 of those folks are going to make it and be offered a job in, you know, at the recruit class.
And I understand you were trying to recruit some maybe non-traditional candidates, mm-hmm. Social workers or people with experience in some of those mm-hmm. newer issues that officers are facing. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. I mean, you know, I think for the longest time, you know, people think that to be an officer, you have to be, you know, big, large and imposing, or be athletic or strong, or, you know, that type of thing, you know, and you really don't have to anymore with all the training that we give and the tools that you have, you know, to work with. So, you know, we're looking towards, I mean, obviously the retired military is a great pool. Athletics is a great pool. And those who, you know, who are majoring in criminal justice is one. But I mean, like social workers, I mean, that is a great group of people because, you know, any college degree that's out there that, you know, you want to help people, a teaching degree, anything, someone with a teaching degree, I think they would make an excellent officer. You know, any, we're even looking, you know, for non-traditional parts of the community, like the LGBTQ community, you know, to think about this as a career. And so we're really reaching out to, you know, so many different types of people that may not have ever thought about this as being a career before. You know, any time where you have to, you know, communicate with people or work with people, that's what we're looking for.
And how are you going about trying to recruit some of those non-traditional candidates?
We do presentations at the various conferences that these folks have. We've, you know, advertised. We do advertising at the UH campuses. You know, whenever I go out and do talks with a community, which is quite frequently, you know, I bring this up, and you know, there is no age. I mean, we've had people that come into, you know, that are 40s and their 50s that come in and begin their career as a police officer. So, you know, we try, when I go out and talk, I try and, you know, get people to, you know, think about it, consider it as maybe if you wanted it even as a second career. You know, we encourage people, and also, too, if they're not sure, to maybe attend our Citizens Police Academy so that they might be get a better understanding of what, you know, police work is really about.
I know in the military, Chief, there are signing bonuses or retention bonuses, that kind of thing. Is that something that the department is able to do?
Well, it is something that we're exploring, you know, with the city. We're going to be meeting with them to explore the idea of a signing bonus and even a longevity bonus so that every 5 years, and this is just stuff that we haven't talked to them about, but it's just ideas that we had, so that, you know, every 5 years you get a bonus, a longevity bonus, so that you stay, you know, with us, too. So we're just looking at anything that we can, you know, and looking at the mainland, what types of things that they're doing, what types of things that other companies are doing, not necessarily police departments, because, you know, obviously private corporations are really good at, you know, keeping their people and, you know, hiring and stuff. So we're looking at them and looking, trying to find ways to encourage people to apply.
And that was going to be my next question. Have you in discussing this issue with your counterparts in either on the other counties or on cities on the mainland, are there any departments that are really having success in addressing this recruiting issue?
Not really. Everybody seems to be having the same problem, you know, just trying to get people. And one of the other things, too, that we're looking at, which we're hoping will help, is also we're probably one of the few departments that never took lateral transfers before, whether it was from the neighbor islands or from the mainland. And so next year we should be starting a lateral transfer program. So people who are already police officers on the mainland and or the neighbor islands, you know, they can come to Honolulu, and instead of going through 6 months of training, it'll be a shortened academy, maybe about 3 months.
Chief, you mentioned that in some of those cities on the mainland, one of the big problems with recruiting is distrust of police officers.
Mm-hmm.
And I know with the Kealoha trial, have you experienced any kind of noticeable change in recruiting because it was a high profile criminal trial associated with your department?
No, we really haven't. I think, you know, the people here in Hawaii are just, they're very forgiving. And I think once he was gone, I think people did not want to join, you know, while they were here and, you know, also, you know, initially. But I think that they see that now things are changing, and we really haven't gotten that all. I've never heard anybody say, oh, yeah, you know, because of the Kealoha case, I don't want to become an officer. I've never really ever heard that.